Yes, you're listening to Law and Gospel on this Rumination Thursday, July the 28th in the year of our Lord 2016. And being a Rumination Thursday, we have with us good friend Wes Reimnitz. How you doing, Wes?
I'm doing fine. You're going to be a little kinder to me than to Mark Smith.
Oh, no. No. I have to be equally obnoxious to everyone who is my guest.
Well, you call me good.
Yes. Yeah, well, every now and then I lie. Okay.
Okay.
Perfect subject, vanity of vanities. We're going to be taking a look at Ecclesiastes. It's not only the Old Testament reading for today, for Sunday, the 11th Sunday after Pentecost, but it is also a good insight into what's going on. Just before our program, by the way, was talking about how what happens with pressures and strife within us is because we have hopes and dreams that don't come to fruition. And I thought that was a good lead-in for our program.
Well, when you look at vanity of vanities, aren't we looking at, in a sense, isn't the writer telling us that all things are corrupted by sin, all of creation?
Yes, if our motivation leads to vanity of vanities. What I did on Monday, I made the distinction that why things turn into emptiness or vapor is because we're doing them out of self-interest, trying to make a name for ourselves, making us look good. Well, the Lord's not going to tolerate that. So many of those things we do with that kind of motivation fails. Whereas when you trust in Jesus, you can really be content with what you have, and you don't have to strive for something greater just to make yourself feel better about yourself.
Well, that's kind of a fine line, isn't it, for people going out there and working for, what, a better home, a better car, a better position?
Well, there's no problem with working for that if your goal is to give glory to God. But if your goal is to give glory to yourself, then that's going to turn into a vanity because you will never get the glory that you deserve in your mind, but instead will get the glory you don't deserve because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Right. And wouldn't that also include your stewardship life, what you return back to the Lord and in your offerings?
Yes. When you were in the Central Illinois as an officer, weren't you someone in charge of stewardship?
Right. Yeah. That's the old stewardship director coming out on me.
Yes. So explain how proper stewardship doesn't lead to vanity of vanities.
Well, I like 2 Corinthians 8, where Paul is talking about the Macedonians and how they gave out of their great gratitude. And he makes the point that they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So their giving was first to God, and it was always with view of the cross and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. And that made all the difference in why we give.
Now, does that come about because you have a plan of action and say, okay, this time I'm going to give to the glory of God? Or does that come about spontaneously as you continue to hear the word of God?
Both. It's a spontaneous action as a result of hearing God's word faithfully in your life. And also, you know, when I was teaching it, I would teach people to regularly give the first day of the week, you know, set aside a portion, plan out what their giving was. And in this day and age, you know, you walk into a store, they want you to give a buck or two at the counter and things like this, and kind of leave a guilt trip on people. And, of course, I would always say, I gave at the office.
Yes. You were at the convention. Did you ever hear the amount of money they brought in for their special contribution?
No, I didn't. I wasn't in the room when they talked about that.
Of course, congregations are still sending it in too.
Oh yeah, I think it'll be a couple weeks to a month or so before they get a final total in on their giving. But there too, I think you bring up a good point that it was done in relation to our confession of who Christ is in our life. It's giving is always at the point of the cross, and that's where it separates out of that vanity of vanities.
Part of Solomon's vanity of vanities is he says, you know, I toil all my life, and then I leave it to a man who will come after me, and who knows whether he will be wise or a fool. And as he thinks about that, that upsets him.
Well, isn't that kind of reverting back to self-interest again?
Exactly. That you do all this, you know, people say you can't take anything with you. And, of course, the Egyptians didn't believe that. If you go into their tombs, Pharaoh has all kinds of possessions that supposedly he's taking into the afterlife. But that's not really happening.
Well, it splits down to what we've been talking about many times here on Long Gospel, into the two religions, God's religion, man's religion. God is the glory that we give to God because of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. Man's religion is how do we build a better wealth for ourselves.
You're almost quoting Colossians 3 for this week, where Paul says, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Now, that certainly doesn't say that we shouldn't be anxious to pass the tests at school so we get a good job or even a promotion or a nice house. Those things can be received to the glory of God, but if you're doing them to make yourself look better in the eyes of others, then that's where you're not setting your mind on things that are above.
Yeah, when I look at that, that reminds me of the old story of my grandfather on my mother's side. During the Depression, they would go into town on the weekends to do their grocery shopping and various other shopping. And the men would sit in the town square. And an article had come out about Indian head pennies, and one that was worth thousands upon thousands of dollars. So the guys would throw Indian head pennies at the grocery store and watch people ready to pick up that penny and spill all their groceries. They forget what they had in hand.
Yeah.
Thinking that they got something better.
Yes, yes. When Paul lists the things that lead to vanity, he doesn't list anything that is good. He talks about sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness. And then in verse 5 of Colossians 3, he says, these are all idolatry.
Yeah, you know, and I made up another list. The abortion controversy, LGBT controversy, same-sex union controversy, the televangelist that says you can get rich by growing your faith. I mean, wouldn't those all kind of fit into those frameworks?
Yeah, anything that does not coincide with a trust in the work of Jesus Christ will lead to vanity of vanities.
Yeah, I love that Colossians 3 because really, when you get further down, it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. You know?
Yes.
The alternate translation is, let the peace of Christ referee in your hearts. Remember that famous coach from Indiana, Bobby Knight?
I tend to remember, yes.
Well, one time he got mad at the referees and threw a chair across the floor. And of course, he got kicked out of the game. But, you know, when I was serving a parish in Indiana, the next day they were talking about it. I was at a family gathering. I said, yes, wasn't that something? And the people said to me, we didn't know you felt that way about Bobby Knight. And I said, well, how am I supposed to feel about him? That it was the referee's fault for having him throw the chair across the floor.
Yes.
But that's the old Adam in us, you know. And when you're talking about the peace of Christ refereeing your hearts, you got an impartial witness. You have somebody on your side who has been there but done it without sin.
Well, Paul even talks this way when you mention the old Adam. He has another list in verse 8. Put away anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. Now, according to Romans 7, what is he talking about?
Well, he's talking about baptism is what he's talking about.
Yes.
You take off, and of course you're not taking it off. God's giving to you the robes of his righteousness at the cross through the forgiveness of sins that he's won for us.
And Paul recognizes the old self still has sway over us. Remember, he says, the things I want to do, I can't do, and the things I'm trying to stop from doing, I'm doing. Who will deliver me from this body of death?
All right, I would say the good that I would, that I should, I do not, and the evil I don't want to do ends up being the very thing that I do.
Yes. Yes, in fact, I like that one passage that until he heard the commandment, thou shalt not covet, he didn't think he was really coveting. But as soon as he heard the commandment, then he began to covet things. So the hearing of the commandment actually leads to sin.
And so much why he says in Colossians 3 later, let the word of Christ dwell richly within you. That we need that constant feeding of that word daily in our life.
Yeah, if I were to ask you, what passage is it in the Bible where Paul says there's no distinction between male or female, Greek or Jew, slave or free? I'm sure we'll all come up with the book of Galatians.
Galatians, yeah.
But guess what? Here's how Colossians 3, verse 11. There is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all.
Yeah. Yeah. And as a result of Christ is in all, then he goes talking about how we are chosen of God, beloved and holy. And then to put on that heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing one another, forgiving one another, whoever has a complaint against any other, just as the Lord forgave you.
Yes, one of the things I've learned in my life is a verse, back to Ecclesiastes, verse 23 of chapter 2. For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation. Even in the night, his heart does not rest. This also is vanity. And the point I'm making is we've all had a night where it's hard to get to sleep because we're worried about something. And you just have to keep reminding yourself of the promises of God. He's not allowing anything to come to you that he's not going to work out to your good. And also that call upon him in the day of trouble, he will deliver you. So many promises. And that is what offsets a heavy night where the heart does not rest.
He works all things for the good of them that love him.
Yes, the Romans 8:28.
Right. So, but I just love this Colossians 3 because it starts out with our baptism and keeps us in Christ and reminds us of the peace and the love. And further on, he reminds us, whatever we do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father, that whatever we do, Christ is our answer, not the vanities that we chase in life.
And see, that is so different than every other religion in the world, where the answer of their gods is to improve your life, stop sinning, and following the commandments of that religion.
You know, you bring that up, there, of course, was that tragic event in France where the priest was killed by a couple of Muslims, radical Muslims, and they do this in the name of God or Allah, their God. Can't be too great of a God if they've got to go out killing people.
Yes, there's no doubt that I believe that also here in the United States, we're going to see more of what we saw not only in Florida and Texas, etc. But we need to have our people prepared for it. And sometimes we're not doing a very good job in that area.
Right. Well, it's I think isn't it also our duty as Christians to support our police force and wherever possible, make their lives easier?
Well, according to Romans 13, the government is placed there by God himself. And so, therefore, police are actually like parents. They are a servant of God to accomplish his purposes to keep peace in this country.
Yeah. And so I think anything we can do, you know, to in a sense to watch their back and watch over them as they watch over us is a great benefit.
Well, there's been an outpouring of love towards police in recent days in light of the murder that they have experienced. And I think that's very, very good. We're not saying that every policeman is 100% okay. In fact, not every pastor is 100% okay. It's not at all unusual. And I bet in your experience, you were seeing the removal of pastors from the roster, which is the official standing of being a pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, for all kinds of problems where vanity became vanity.
Right. And of course, those were done under the church court system that we had called the dispute resolution. So they were given fair hearings. But, you know, there comes a point where if they don't follow the scriptures as they're there, whether it's false doctrine or is some other action that they take place, that's why we remove them. But back to those policemen. You know, in several of the parishes that I had police chiefs, state patrolmen, deputies, you know, that yes, were members of the congregation. And we always, I can remember my layman always asking that we include them in our prayers of safety over the years.
Yeah, at Trinity Orchard Farm, we have a prayer in each general prayer at this point for the military and what we call first responders.
Right. I do the same thing when I'm out there and preaching in various about the violence and calling upon the Lord to protect our military and our first responders.
Recently at Trinity Orchard Farm, a policeman who's a member there asked me to write a letter for his son, commending him to become part of this private high school. And after we finished talking, I asked him if he was actually driving around in a squad car, which he does occasionally. And I said, well, you're in our prayers. And he really appreciated that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they probably being on the front lines have to watch. And, you know, when I'm out there now driving, I'm on the watch for them whenever I see them in the area. You know, it's just the second nature but the best that we can do is, just as you said, keep them in our prayers.
Yes, I'm on the watch for them also, but what bugs me is when their lights go on right behind my car.
Yeah, we forget they're watching us.
Yeah, and so when I pull over, I always start off thanking them for giving me an escort to wherever I was going. But then he says, license and insurance card, please.
Well, one of the last times they said, do you know why I pulled you over? And I said, obviously, I broke the law.
No. Oh, yeah. You see, you got to be quicker. Why did I pull you over? Because you wanted to hear a witness to me about my faith in Jesus and how you're going to be saved also.
Well, sometimes, you know, see, on my license plate, I have my collar. Sometimes they'll let me go and with a warning. Other times they say, we want to make an example of you.
Yes. Yes, and then we thank them for that. And no, it's been a long time since I've actually been pulled over. My wife got pulled over recently because we had two license plates with our initials. Mine was Tab Lab and hers was Lab Tab. And the policeman had seen me go by, and then when he saw her car, he thought it was the same license plate. And so pulled her over, and fortunately we got out of that pretty easily, as she explained that no, it was a reversal of our name on each one.
But again, they're watching, and it's I still say just what you said earlier. The best we can do is pray and put them in the Lord's hands for safety.
Yes, it's really difficult for a policeman because he could be sitting alone in a car or just walking down the street, and those who were murdered didn't know at all even where the bullets were coming from.
Right. And wouldn't you say that's all part of the vanities that we're talking about?
Exactly, because those people who are so bad off that they think killing a policeman is what their God wants them to do, that becomes a vanity because it just increases the support for the police.
Well, that's part of the world religion or man's religion that we were talking about. It's a very, very work righteous, self-centered existence of living. Whereas what we were talking about in Christ in Colossians 3 is we do what we do because of what Christ is in me. And Christ has redeemed me.
So Ecclesiastes is a great book to read. It appears that that was Solomon's third book. First Song of Solomon, then Proverbs, and near the end of his life, Ecclesiastes. And of course, he was feeling, especially in light of his unfortunate cooperation with his wives that were idolaters, that Solomon himself got into some problems there. And so he was taking a look at his life and feeling that everything is a vapor until he comes to remembering about God and recognizes that, yes, you can eat, drink, and be merry as you are satisfied with what you have. But if every time you do that, you are dissatisfied because you don't have what somebody else does, that's really a form of covetousness, which will lead whatever you're doing to vanity.
Yeah, I that's a great point that you make. It's towards the end of his life. You know, I was recently, just this week, in a nursing home visiting and running across some person that was talking about the problems that they had and was it really worth it all until we got over to the gospel, and they just perked right up and they began to see life in a whole different fashion, being redeemed and restored in Jesus.
Well, the worst part of vanity of vanities is when people belong to religions where they think that their many works are going to save them, and they are soon going to find out that's vanity of vanities.
Yeah, especially in this whole Islamic terrorist movement, where they think they're in a holy jihad and that will somehow get them into heaven by blowing themselves up or going out and killing people, innocent people in this. And it's a reminder that we need to be out there with the gospel, talking to our neighbors, and even our Muslim neighbors.
Yes, you have a favorite phrase that you told me about, the distinction between every other religion and Christianity. The distinction between every other religion is a do.
Oh, the do and done.
Yes, explain that.
Well, the do religion is a work righteous religion. It's when I'm coming to God, or I'm coming for us, when we're coming to the cross, I do something that merits God's favor.
Exactly.
In order to find salvation and forgiveness. The done is the walk from the cross, and it's been already done by Jesus Christ, who has redeemed me through his suffering, death, and resurrection. I no longer have to work to get to heaven.
Well, this weekend I'm at Trinity Orchard Farm again. I'm going to be not preaching on the Old Testament or the Epistle, but the Gospel. Where are you going to be this weekend?
I'm going up to Trinity, Manitoba. The pastor, Jerry Weaver, is retiring. So we're having a retirement party up there for him. And then the following Sunday, I take over.
Wow. So he's just retiring. He's not going to another parish.
No, he's not going to another parish. He's in his 70s. He's going to move down around Effingham near his son.
All right. Well, we sure appreciate you being on the air again, Wes. And tomorrow is Open Mic Friday. We can talk more about other people's examples of how vanity became vanity. But until next Thursday, we're glad to speak with you, Wes.
No, it's great to be with you.
All right. God bless. And tomorrow, Open Mic Friday.
Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.